Welcome to Order Militaris Radio TV. We are live once again to bring you a show no one wants to do or has the courage to do. Yesterday we spoke on the communist infiltration of the Catholic Church. Today, we are doing it, folks. We are grabbing that third rail and not letting go. We are talking about who is Margaret Sanger, her connection to the Nazis, and also about Bill Gates. We welcome again Brother Alexis Bonello to the show.
Thank you, AJ. Always glad to be on Ordo Militaris Radio TV, breaking new horizons in independent Catholic media in the English-speaking world.
Ooh. Who is this Margaret Sanger?
One nasty lady, let me tell you. It's a woman with a lot of hate and rage in her, and obsessed. Just reading her biography, you wouldn't get the impression you'd ever want to meet this woman. There's nothing really maternal about her. So she was born in on September 14th, 1879. She dies on September 6th, 1966. I think she dies in Tucson, Arizona. She was born in Corning, New York. And Corning is, New York is where the famous Corning Glassworks are. And it's very interesting to read the kind of propaganda that just surrounds her whole life. You get it even in her biographies. A biography, for example, Wikipedia will claim she was born of devout Catholic parents. But in the very next sentence, they point out that the father was an atheist. So obviously they weren't devout Catholic parents. And then if you look at her mother's surname, you see that she wasn't Irish, she was Norman. And the curious thing is that that surname is associated with a Masonic lodge in Northumbria. So the other interesting thing about her life is that you'll see that she calls herself Margaret Sanger, but she was born Margaret Higgins and Margaret Louise Higgins. So even after divorcing her first husband, she keeps her first husband's name. So I don't know if that's a practice among women, but if she was a real feminist, she'd go back to her real name now. So there's some contradictions in her life, but she was born into, I can't say that they're a wealthy family or poor family, but there was lots of children in her family. And she, but nevertheless, she did go to college and get an education. So her parents weren't that hard off. Very hard in that generation before the year 1900 for women to get education. That was very rare that any family has had enough money to send their girls to school. And she ends up going to the Hudson River Institute, which was the girls' school half of the Claver College. And she ends up marrying William Sanger, an architect, in 1902. So the first thing is point out this. So she's of Norman descent, Irish extraction, at least on her mother's side, but Irish Norman, not Irish Catholic. Her father's an atheist. And she marries a Jewish man. William Sanger was a devout Jew. He was born in Berlin, and he was German. And it's not surprising then that she starts reading books written by Jews, which are socialist or communist or Marxist in inspiration. She has a family of three children, I believe she had three children. And they lived in upper Winchester County there in New York, outside of New York City. So 11 years after they married, 9 years after they're married, their house burns down, and that forces them to move into the inner city slums there in Greenwich Village. Within 2 years, she separates from her husband. Can you imagine? Leaving him with the, I don't know if she took the kids with him or left him with the kids. And it looks like she started going around with Noah Slee, who is on some kind of oil magnate from New York State. Slee is an unusual name, too. I'm not saying it is Jewish, but certainly seems Jewish because his biography on genealogy.com is maintained by a Cohen, who's a Jew. So she married two Jewish men. It makes you think that she perhaps was herself Jewish, and the biography is really trying to hide that her mother was Jewish. But this might explain why she starts moving in the circles of the Rockefellers and other very wealthy Jewish banking families, oil families, that are pushing things like eugenics, contraception, abortion, and the genocide of certain minorities like blacks, Hispanics, yeah. Catholics, Italians. That's a little introduction on her life. She ends up dying in Tucson. Her second husband died in Tucson just about 20 years after marrying her. She never had any children by her second husband.
I want to get to some of her smaller pieces that are quoted in Breitbart and get your take on them. In a piece titled Birth Control and Racial Betterment, Singer wrote in part, "Before eugenists and others who are laboring for racial betterment can succeed, they must clear the way for birth control. Like the advocates of birth control, eugenists, for instance, are seeking to assist the race towards the elimination of the unfit. Both are seeking a single end, but they lay emphasis upon different methods. Eugenists emphasize the mating of healthy couples for the conscious purpose of producing healthy children, the sterilization of the unfit to prevent their populating the world with their kind. And they may, perhaps, agree with us that contraception is a necessary measure among the masses of the workers. For wages do not keep pace with the growth of the family, and its necessities in the way of food, clothing, and housing, medical attention, education, and the like. We who advocate birth control, on the other hand, lay all our emphasis upon stopping not only the reproduction of the unfit, but upon stopping all reproduction when there is not economic means of providing proper care for those who are born in health. The eugenists also believe that a woman should bear as many as healthy children as possible as a duty to the state. We hold that the world is already overpopulated. Eugenists imply or insist that a woman's first duty is to the state. We contend that her duty to herself is her duty to the state."
So you can see this woman is absolutely heartless, and there's really nothing feminine about her. About the time she's dumping her husband, she's writing articles in the local socialist paper, which were considered pornographic. So this woman is obsessed with sex. And yet her solution to the problem is to get rid of generations so that she shows where her obsession leads. Didn't she write something about what parts of humanity need to be eliminated in that same article?
"Here are the unspeakable things Singer published about black people in an essay cheerfully titled, What Every Girl Should Know. It is said that the Aboriginal Australian, the lowest known species of human family, just a step higher than a chimpanzee in brain development, has so little sexual control that police authority alone prevents him from obtaining sexual satisfaction on the streets. According to one writer, the rapist has just enough brain development to raise him above the animal. But like the animal, when in heat, knows no law except nature, which impels him to procreate whatever the result. Every normal man and woman has the power to control, inject his sexual impulse. Men and women who have it in control and constantly use their brain cells in thinking deeply are never sensual.
This woman's an absolute hypocrite. She's such a sex fiend that she writes pornographic articles inducing other girls to become sex fiends. And she spends time with both her husbands importing contraceptive devices so they can have as much sex as they want without any responsibility. And she has the gall to insult the native people of Australia, the Aborigines, as being some kind of one step above chimpanzees. This woman is an utter racist and a complete hypocrite, okay? I've been to Australia. The Aborigine people are just as intelligent as native peoples or anyone else in any other part of the world. This woman is this complete, utter racist. And the fact that this woman goes on to found Planned Parenthood, an institution for which the Democratic Party would murder itself to maintain in existence. That's how racist they are. This is a woman who was praised by Hillary Clinton, saying, Margaret Sanger, I admire very deeply. So, you know, the fact that you have the party of slavery, the party of the KKK, which invited Sanger to speak and invited her many times to speak, supporting it is not a surprise. This woman was a complete racist. And the concept that certain parts of humanity are not human, they're animal, is not a Christian concept. It's a Talmudic concept. In the Talmud, the Jews hold that they are the real sons of Adam and everyone else is some kind of animal and is totally a different species. And she says in that tract, this other species of humanity, there's no species of humanity, there's only one species of human, well, human. So there is a lot of hate in this woman and a lot of hypocrisy. She's there using contraceptive devices so she can have as much sex as she wants, but she's faulting black people, because the Aborigines are dark skinned, in another part of the world of being uncontrolled. You can't get richer than that. You can't wrap up racism, eugenics, hypocrisy, and sex obsession more extremely and succinctly in one paragraph than that. It's a monster, this woman.
Yeah. So, how did she get into all this so much evil?
Well, probably had a lot to do with her father being an atheist. Okay. And you notice in that first piece you read, she's advocating birth control to prevent poverty. And now you can see why the big corporations and the big bankers support her. Because what is the Catholic solution to a family that's having more children? The Catholic solution is to increase the salary of the husband as he shows himself to be an honest, faithful worker in the company. And the concept of paying a higher salary to people who have been there 20 years than the entry-level worker is based on irrational principles that this person's loyal to the company, he's a faithful worker, he's acquired many talents and has become an expert to lead and guide others in the company in its economic production. Once he shows sufficient intelligence, he's raised to the level of a manager or floor sharp manager, and therefore he merits a higher salary. And at the same time, he's having more children. So if he's a Catholic, a large family, the money goes to children. But, you know, it's not that expensive to have a bigger family because the kids hand down clothes one from another. So, you know, because kids outgrow clothes. If you only had one child, every time that child outgrew his clothes, what would you do with those clothes? You'd have to give them away. But if you have a family, they'd go to the next kid. So it's not really that much more expensive. And when you have more children at home, there's more hands at work, so it's less work for the mom. Pretty soon the daughters are old enough to do a lot of the housework, so the mother can go out and get a job if that's necessary. So, but her solution is just eliminating the children. Just get rid of them all. You know why? we don't want the industrialists to have any obligation of paying a higher salary. Everyone should get paid the lowest possible, and so they don't need to have any children. You can see how well that fits into the capitalist system. It is such a vicious, denigratory, bigoted view of the worker. It is so anti-worker, it's unbelievable. They don't even want the worker to have children, they just want him to work and take a slow salary and shut up. And so you can see why the Rockefellers, big industrialists and totally in favor of exploiting the poor so much that they had a lot of riots on their facilities, would be totally backing this woman, this heartless monster of a hypocrite.
Yeah. Before I get into all about what she did for the Nazis, how did she get involved with them?
So this woman gets involved in radical socialist movements, but whenever she sees a chance to advance the agenda of contraception or abortion, she's always testing the law, always breaking the law, and she always has lawyers and judges that rule in her favor or that advance her case. So clearly she had a lot of money on her. She was not the leader of a movement. She was the spearhead of a group that was already financed and organized and in control of courts and legislators. So as soon as that she would do something, then everything else would fall into place. For example, one year she imported contraceptive devices from Japan. She did it so that she could start a court case. She got a court case, the court rules in her favor. And a year later, the American Medical Association starts recommending contraceptions for everyone. So there was a lot of power and money behind her. She is just the, as you say, the picture girl of the movement. And she was willing to do the work. But the kind of person who is so obsessed with sex that they're trying to break down all the laws that have contraceptives for all women is involved in the sexual abuse of other women. She definitely wants other women to be sexually, she is sexually abusing other women. She's trying to get them addicted to sex and give them the means to practice perverse and addicted sex. Mm-hmm. So she is a really sick woman, and since she had several sisters herself, I would raise the question of what was her relationship with her other sisters. It doesn't seem this woman had any purity to herself. She certainly had no fidelity to her first husband. She didn't even have fidelity to her second husband. She didn't want to even give him children. And she got her first husband arrested because he was carrying one of her tracts about contraception. And so it looks like she controlled the men around her. She was and not love them, but just use them. So she gets involved in the contraceptive movement, okay, and then the abortion movement, and along the way with the euthanasia movement. And all these three were being pushed by the Freemasons, the socialists, because they wanted to break down society, and she was all in front of that. So I talked about the birth control movement, and she didn't call it family planning back then, it was called birth control. Family planning is the new word to hide what they're really doing, because birth control was considered too negative of a term. You know, it's completely unnecessary. If you don't want another children, don't come together and have a child. It's just common sense. She says people who are self-controlled and not sensual persons should know how to control themselves. Okay, then don't come together. Then you're not going to have a child. You can only have a child if you come together. So birth control really isn't the solution. Birth control promotes a sex addiction because it detracts from the act any possibility of the conception of a new child, which is the greatest thing any two humans can accomplish together. But not in her book. In her book, the greatest thing is sex, sexual mm-hmm. pleasure, because otherwise she wouldn't be promoting it. She also has a very low view of humanity. She talks about intelligent people being able to control themselves, but she doesn't believe that at all, because if she did, she would be a preacher of chastity, not a promoter of birth control. Birth control presupposes that people can't control themselves, and therefore you have to prevent conception by some mechanical, artificial, or medical device or intervention. So she has a very, very low view of humans. I don't see any evidence she ever preached chastity. She was always pushing birth control or abortion. So the word chastity exists in the English language. To go through your whole life and not ever promote it shows that you're one really, excuse my language, a sick bunny. And she founded in 1921 the American Birth Control League, which had the following objectives. We hold that children should be, one, conceived in love, two, born of the mother's conscious desire, and three, only begotten under conditions which render possible the heritage of health. We therefore hold that every woman must possess the power and freedom to prevent conception, except when these conditions can be satisfied. Well, every woman does hold that. It's called, you know, not, you know, don't lie, sleep with a man, okay? So there's, you can see now, and everything she's going to get involved in, it's complete lies and propaganda to break down morals, and without any respect for humanity, women, the beautiful and wonderful power humans have of having children. She opened up a clinic to do this, and she got, after some legal problems, she got, she exploited a loophole to do what she was doing. She was the first legal birth control in the United States. And immediately she gets huge funding from John D. Rockefeller, industrialist, Jewish, heavily involved in the international financiers, Bilderberger. The Bilderbergers hadn't yet been founded, but there he is. Founder and promoter of eugenicist movements, investor in companies of the Nazi Third Reich that produced the gas that killed Jews, you know, the worst of the worst. But if to start doing something and get funding from someone really important right away shows that you were asked to do that by that powerful person. He just waited for you to meet the requirements. So this is a woman who probably was attending lots of meetings of very wealthy people, and through her husband in the oil industry. Oh, he's not, yeah, at this time, she just married her husband in the oil industry, so that's where she's getting the connections from it. He donated $5,000 to her American Birth Control League in 1924. So in addition to the clinic, he financed their birth control league. And now, $5,000 is a lot of money even today, but back then that was like $50 million, okay? $5,000 is a huge sum of money. In 1910, a house would cost you $500. Okay, so this is a family house, so like a three-bedroom family house. So 5,000 is the value of 10 houses, okay, to promote her organization. So that's a massive investment. So she travels to China, Korea, Japan. She's promoting birth control all over the place. She had a lot of big money behind her. And her second marriage into an oil baron, Noah Lee, also probably helped her finance what she was doing.
Okay.
And so she's just built up a whole tradition of evil. And one thing that we have to point out is that many of the practices of the Nazi state, eugenics, contraception, birth control, and the results of that concentration camps, were promoted by the elites of the United States who were atheists or non-Christians and who had massive financial power because of their position in the economy and felt that and had absolute hatred and disgust and towards the poor and to the worker. And so the work these people did in the United States as servants of these elites, people like Margaret Sanger, she's just a servant of these elites, was something adopted in the Nazi state because the Nazi state, after the First World War, it was rebuilt and financed by these same American elites. So the same ideas came over. And this is something we as Americans need to recognize the indirect culpability America has with what the Nazi regime did, and who's responsible in America, individuals who have never been brought to trial and never been found any way legally responsible for what happened. And that's a terrible shame, and that's one of the great injustices of history in the 20th century in the United States.
Singer's quote, I'm quoting from Dinesh D'Souza's article, The Hitler-Singer Connection. Singer's close associates, Clint Gamble, who funded Singer and spoke at her conferences, and Lothrop Stoddard, who published in Singer's magazine and served on the board of her American Birth Control League, both knew about the Nazi sterilization and euthanasia programs and praised them. Stoddard traveled to Germany, where he met with top Nazi officials, even secured an audience with Hitler. His 1940 book, Into the Darkness, is a paean to Hitler and the Nazi eugenics. Singer, too, was on board. In 1933, Singer's magazine, Birth Control Review, published an article on eugenic sterilization by Ernest Wooden, chief architect of the Nazi sterilization program and mentor of Josef Mengele. A notorious Nazi doctor at Auschwitz. Singer's magazine also reprinted a pamphlet that Rudin had prepared for British eugenicists. Writing in 1938, when the Nazi program was in full swing, Singer urged Americans to follow Hitler's example, using the language of social Darwinism, the same language that Hitler uses in Mein Kampf. Singer wrote, "In animal industry, the poor stock is not allowed to breed. In gardens, the weeds are kept down. America," Singer concluded, "must learn from the Nazis and carry out nature's own mandate of getting rid of human weeds." Hitler never quotes Singer, but he was inspired by the writings of two of her associates, Leon Whitney of the American Eugenics Society and Madison Grant of the New York Zoological Society. During the 1930s, Whitney on one occasion visited Grant to proudly show him a letter he had just received from Hitler requesting a copy of Whitney's book, The Case for Sterilization.
Yeah, one prominent member of the Nazi regime actually said that her views had greatly influenced the intellectuals who were advising Adolf Hitler. And to point out, even in the United States, this woman was out to eliminate the black race. That was basically her objective with what she was doing. She started a thing called a Negro Project. And on the one hand, she said she didn't want anyone in her organization who was bigoted against black people, but they had to participate in things like the Negro Project, which targeted black people with contraceptions, promoting the idea of abortion, and the fact that they need to limit their numbers because that's just good for America, you know. And so when her organization gets transformed into Planned Parenthood, they target black communities. Something like 78% of all Planned Parenthood clinics were built and constructed in or near black neighborhoods. Statistically speaking, as I mentioned before in another program, half of all the black people in America do not exist because they were killed in the womb by abortion, mostly promoted by Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. So she would be proud in the achievements of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry because it's achieved what she intended it to achieve, the extermination of a group that she felt was a step above the level of chimpanzees. And she actually intended in her literature to target black ministers in black communities and black churches because she felt that they could be most easily persuaded to push her ideas of contraception among black people. And it wasn't because she wanted black people out of poverty. It's because she didn't want black people. Okay. Let's put it in a thing. So, if you're voting for the Democratic Party and you're black, you are been hoodwinked. Okay. Massive, big time. You would have twice as many voters in on your rolls and twice as many people in your congregations if you had not listened to Margaret Sanger, if your forefathers hadn't listened to Margaret Sanger, if the met people in your community hadn't listened to Margaret Sanger. This is not a fault on your thing. This woman was very evil and very devious in what she did and said. So a lot of goodwill people would be misled by this kind of propaganda. A lot of people were misled by this propaganda. I know in the 70s, parents who had three children are already being told by their doctors and their ministers not to have any more children. They should practice contraceptive. It was a very widespread error, but it is greatly weakened by America by eliminating millions, tens of millions of children who would have been great assets to America and given us a lot of new inventions, been great statesmen, great works of art, many vocations. Because, you know, a family, as speaking now to Catholics, a family with eight children is going to have some vocations and the parents will be glad. But when you only have two children, you're going to have strong personal motives to convince them not to become clergy and religious. And so consequently, where are the priests now? You know, all of these faithful, but they contracepted away the generation of priests and religious. So where are the priests and religious that care for their souls? So having committed a horrible crime, they now will die without the sacraments. And that is the evil effects of this kind of wicked promotion of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, which is just a renamed form of the National Committee for Birth Control, is behind that. So very evil organization, very evil. So Margaret Sanger dies a year after Griswold, Connecticut legalized birth control in the United States in 1966. That was her life's campaign, and she doesn't leave any children to promote that because she contracepted them all out of existence. The contraceptive movement eventually will extinguish itself because families who contracept won't have children, they'll cease to exist. Whereas families that have big children and big families and many children and teach them to do the same, they'll inherit the earth. But in the meantime, a lot of evil is going on because if you're contracepting as a couple, then basically the woman is being totally exploited because there's really, it's the man who gets everything out of it, basically. It's very difficult for a woman. You're going to have to get involved in a lot of sexual perversion, and that's just sick and twisted because the purpose of sex is not itself. It's not the act. It's the child conceived. And to say that you need contraceptions is just ridiculous. Anyone could practice self-control and they can come together as many times as they want children. But their love for one another should bring about the love of children. And if they don't love children, then they don't love one another. Because if you don't love your wife as a woman, she doesn't love you as a man, then you don't love the whole of the other person. You're just using them. And so divorce goes hand in hand with birth control and abortion. Yeah. Not to mention the amounts of breast cancer are incredible for women to have abortion because the abortion interrupts a natural process where a woman's body is producing huge amounts of hormones for the development of the child. And when abortion takes place, the child is killed, but the hormones keep going on and the woman's body becomes flooded with hormones and then she gets cancer, whether it's breast or ovarian cancer. And that is the punishment for the sin, and it's just because it's just so unnatural and completely unnecessary. I mean, it's not like we're in the 19th century where women die in childbirth. It almost never happens anymore because medicine has advanced to such a point where these things can be avoided. So there's really no reason for it. As I said, as far as salaries go, corporations already have adopted paying workers more the more seniority they have. And there's a whole system for that. So even workers' rights have advanced to a point where it's no longer necessary. So the only thing really driving it is sex addiction and racism. Parties that are totally licentious, like the Democratic Party, that are obsessed with sex, but also obsessed with racism because they're run by the old eugenic promoting aristocracy, and they're funded by those families. And so it's a bit surprising to me that to find out that Bill Gates' family was involved with Planned Parenthood, but his father, okay, was a big was on the original board of directors of Planned Parenthood, and his mother was an ardent promoter of Planned Parenthood. And he would not have had a job if she hadn't spoken to someone in IBM telling him to get him a job and help found Microsoft. So the entire creation of Microsoft is all part of the abortion industry, the eugenics movement, and that whole concept of the world where humans are something that you can treat like cattle, use as you want, and you definitely want to get rid of an excess number of them for the sake of elite enjoying the resources of the world. So 10 years ago, when Bill Gates just decided to give up Microsoft and go on this campaign to promote vaccines, he's not, a lot of people are surprised, like, what does that have to do with anything about Bill Gates? But he's returning to the political traditions of his parents, Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, the eugenics movement, the idea of you exterminating the other races, the inferior races, and controlling the worker so that you can completely manipulate him. And the vaccines are the way to do it, the way to kill people, maim people, exterminate people, sterilize people, and so mess them up genetically that they constantly need shots after shots after shots that you're going to give them. And it's completely diabolic, because to have absolute immunity from what happens when you give someone a vaccine is basically having absolute immunity to shoot them dead, okay, in a slow, terrible, and more even wicked way. So it's mass murder contemplated, and it's the triumph of eugenicism. What we're seeing now with the lockdowns, the pandemic, the absolute mastery of Bill Gates over the whole world and all authorities, he's even telling Bergoglio what to do, is the triumph of eugenicism, the triumph of the same Nazi kind of mentality towards human beings. Because Hitler, many people think Hitler was someone who promoted the German race, but he exterminated the German race. He killed 20 million Germans, and he himself was Jewish. So the whole mentality of this global elite is about extermination. It's about extermination of Christians, whites, blacks, any minority, except for Jews. Except the Jews that don't go along with it. And the bankers are involved. Freemasonry is involved. Marxism is involved, because the Marxists are funded by these people. So this is not coincidental. This is planned. This is organized. This is intentional. This is heavily financed and heavily studied. If you just look at the number of institutions the Rockefeller family has financed, so that they would have the technical and scientific knowledge to be able to manipulate the masses of the entire world psychologically, economically, financially, ideologically. It's just unbelievable. But they're absolutely intent on this, okay? And these people are the followers of the Antichrist. This is the religion of the Antichrist, completely based on lies and enslavement, and totally opposed to Christianity, liberty, justice, honesty, and the natural law. It's a complete hatred of everything that exists. It's a war against being itself and against the Creator. And it's really terrible to read. You can go through, I recommend, for example, the Wikipedia article and read step by step how much Sanger worked to knock down every law opposing morality on the question of human sexuality. She was just a completely evil woman. I think you could rightly call her, in a metaphorical sense, a witch. That's what she was. She was a witch.
All right. You skipped ahead a little there.
Yeah. I know. Excuse me, but it's just so, she's such a disgusting person.
Today we hear about homophobia, all these other things. Does this have any connection to Margaret Sanger?
You know, when I first heard the word, I was like, what on earth kind of a word is that? But when her husband was arrested, first husband was arrested in 1913 for carrying one of her tracts around, he gets in court and he accuses the judge of suffering from sexophobia. Okay, so they're playing with words back in 1913. So homophobia is just taking the word sex and changing it to one of those, one of people's inclinations. So, yes, they are connected. This is a word tactic that they use. This is a game that they are playing. I can't say she's the cause invention of that word, but she'd probably be totally in favor of it because she wants sex without procreation. So, and this is what people have to understand. If you're contracepting with your wife, then you're involved in sodomy because you are practicing sex without generation. And that is the sin of Sodom. And so it's just absolutely perverse and it's totally pointless, okay? That's what it leads to. It leads to the thought that sex is good of itself, so that is pleasure, because they don't mean by generation sex anymore, generation. They just mean venereal pleasure. They think that is the whole purpose of it. It's a form of self-addiction. And, you know, it's like people got in a whole obsessive thing is using part of your body for a function it's not, you know. You're like you're going to use your nose to dig a hole in the sand at the beach or something. It's just not what it's made for. It's just a misuse. So these people are idiots, you know, and the common sense of the word of absolute ignorant. They don't even know how to use their own bodies. But they're on a mission, and they're well-funded.
I don't know where to go next. I don't know where to go next. You blew right through all the questions.
No, let's go. Maybe ask me to speak more in detail of them. Sorry.
Talk more about the real reason Microsoft was created.
Yeah. So, IBM had the technology to make computers, and all that was necessary to run them was have software. So they could have developed the software on their own. They certainly had enough money to do it, but they chose not to. So Bill Gates' mother knew the head of IBM and got him a lucrative contract to start writing the software. So it was a decision not for the sake of computers, but to promote wealth among their own class and their own friends. So Microsoft was totally programmed at the table, as you say. It's it was totally created artificially. It's not a real economic entity. I was very surprised that when Microsoft went public, they got $60 billion worth of investment, like overnight, just in a few days. And I'm saying that's absolutely impossible. It's only a company that makes software for computers. Why is so much money being thrown at them? Because it was planned that way. Okay, so Microsoft is not an American company. It isn't a company of the elites and globalists. It was programmed that way from the beginning. And that's why it, as a program software, it's all about controlling your computer, whoever manufactures it. It's for their ends and for their purposes. And so if you're owning stock in Microsoft, I would advise you to divest immediately, because you are just putting your money in to a rock Rockefeller Planned Parenthood venture. That's all it is.
Can you go more into about Bill Gates Sr.?
Yeah, Bill Gates Sr. comes from a family of bankers in Washington State. So, he served in the Second World War, but none of his biographies will admit where he served in the Second World War. On a GI Bill, he went to school, he got a law degree, founded a law firm. His law firm starts working for all the powerful elites, and he shows himself a loyal servant of that entire industry. So his father, he is Bill Gates himself, isn't as a character, doesn't seem as intelligent as his father. His father was a real man of the elite, a servant class of the elite, just like Margaret Sanger was. The families like the Rothschilds and Rockefellers don't get directly involved in what they're doing. They always want front men to do all the dirty work and get all the blame while they finance them from the rear. And this has a lot of reason why to do when Microsoft, when Bill Gates sets up a foundation, he claims he's giving all his money to the poor. That's not the case. He can't really give that money away because that money was given to him by the bankers, the international financiers, and they consider that still his money. It's kind of like a feudal system. And so his father being head of Planned Parenthood and stuff, he was probably pushed by that by his wife. But people who just serve power without any sense of morality whatsoever. And it's said that he was Christian, but, you know.
I find it strange how he doesn't say what he did, where he served. And first thing that came to mind was a spook. One of those guys that exist but don't exist on paper.
Yeah, I know. If you served in the military, you should be proud to say about it. So is he anti-war? Did he serve in the Pacific theater? Did he serve in Europe and fought the Nazis? But he doesn't want to admit he fought the Nazis because his family are allied with the Nazis. Okay. Yeah. Or did he go to Europe as a GI and end up admiring the Nazis and he came back as a Nazi? Okay. Yeah. So if we knew where he served and what unit he served with, well, then we'd know more about maybe how his ideas changed during the Second World War.
Yeah. With all the connections to eugenics, Planned Parenthood, everything, would it be fair to say there's a Nazi connection to Bill Gates?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can say that. Sanger, his whole movement was supported and appraised what Adolf Hitler was doing. She was financed by the Rockefellers, who actually rebuilt the industries that were essential to the Nazi war effort and to their eugenics effort, to their programs of sterilization and medical experimentation. The Rockefellers were totally behind it. And Gates' family was completely loyal and to Margaret Sanger and to her effort. Her father knew Margaret Sanger. She was alive when he was on the board of directors. So these are close family friends of the Sangers who are close ideologic friends of Adolf Hitler. You have to say that this is the same Nazi class. As I said, there are American families that supported the Nazis, okay? And they were promoting Nazi ideology before the Nazis ever did it, okay? And they never gave up that ideology after the war. They just changed the terms. So can you say Microsoft and Bill Gates are all promoting the agenda of the Nazi Party? I think you can say that. I think you'd say that's objective. Remember Hitler's last words on the subject, what will become of the Nazi Party? He says it will return within a century, but as a religion. Mm-hmm. And he said those words in 1945. So we're coming up on a century. And we can see how what Bill Gates is doing with vaccines, the absolute shutdown of the entire world, the destruction of the middle class, the promotion of sodomy, contraception, abortion, mm-hmm. The passing of laws that outlaw Christianity, and the rise of satanic cults, which have become totally embraced publicly by the ruling elites of the world, as well as by Bergoglio, that we are moving towards a new one-world Nazi kind of religion where there is complete control over the masses, even at the level point of genetics, yeah. And that we are all treated as cattle, and that our children may even be taken away for us so that it could be sacrificed in satanic rites. It all goes hand in hand with the fundamental objective of Hitler. Because if you look at Hitler, it wasn't about making Germany great. It was about destroying the world. He killed more Germans than anyone ever killed the Germans. And although he didn't only kill Germans, he killed three times more Germans than even the highest estimates of how many Jews he killed. But no one commemorates the Germans he killed. Okay. And he killed six times more Christians than any numbers of Germans had ever been claimed to be, Jews have ever been claimed to kill. But no one talks about the Christians because they're now in control of the media, and they have been for a long time. They don't want you to know those things. They don't want you to know that Adolf Hitler was a Jew. They don't want you to know that he was financed by people like Rockefeller, or that his ideas he took from Margaret Sanger, or that Bill Gates is a Margaret Sanger family friend. They don't want you to know that.
I want to read you something from the Catholic blog, CatholicStand.com, on eugenics in America, the legacy of Sanger and Gates. And these are the words of Bill Gates Sr., Jr. And then I quote from the blog, as did Sanger, Gates believes in the eugenist Thomas Malthus idea that the sustainability of the world's resources is completely dependent upon maintaining population control. Ironically, Gates believes that improving healthcare primarily through vaccinations will accomplish this. These are his words. And maybe the most interesting thing I learned is that as you improve health in a society, population growth goes down. You know, before I learned about it, I thought it was a paradoxal. Well, if you improve health, aren't you just dooming people to deal with such a lack of resources, or they won't be educated, or they won't have enough food? You know, the sort of Malthusian view of what would take place? And the fact is that health leads parents to decide, okay, we don't need to have as many children, because the chance of having less children being able to survive to be adults and take care of us means we don't have to have 7 or 8 children. From Bill Gates in a Now interview.
Yeah, so the consequences of what he's saying, we can see what's going on in South Africa right now. The London School of Medicine is funding a study for a COVID-19 vaccine, and they're doing it in South Africa in poor neighborhoods because poor black people can't sue them for being murdered by a malfunctioning vaccine. So what Sanger wanted to do to black people by promoting conception among them, the friend of Sanger, the Gates family, is now promoting vaccines among black people in South Africa. It's the same racism, the same eugenics, the same bigotry, the same obsession for world power, and it's the same phony science, okay? To say that being healthier means you're going to have less children is just a completely irrational statement, okay? Most children die in childbirth because the parents aren't healthy. So if the parents were healthy, they wouldn't die in childbirth, okay? So these are people who have no morality. They're trying to substitute some kind of spiel as a moral decision. And so consequently, Bill Gates can say things like, with vaccines, we can reduce the world population by 15%. That is, kill a billion people, more than a billion people. And they don't even blink an eye about killing a billion people, because these people are totally whacked out, psychopathic megalomaniacs. They are completely immoral, and they're way beyond Hitler, because Hitler only killed 40 million. Bill Gates wants to kill a billion, okay? You know, that's 20 times, it's 10. That's 25 times more. So this guy's 25 times more wicked than Adolf Hitler. And that's why it's completely inexplicable why Donald Trump took more than $1 billion away from the World Health Organization this month and gave it to Gavi, which is a Bill Gates vaccine promoting organization. Donald Trump is also a member of this world of eugenicist Nazis, because if they're out to kill this many people and force everyone to get vaccines, you can't get more of a dictatorship than that. And we have to open our eyes. I mean, so many Catholics are addicted to the idea, well, Trump's just maneuvering around them so, you know, they expose themselves for what they are. Well, you know, I could see that if he always tweeted. But when you shut down the economy by your own order and destroy the lives of hundreds of millions of Americans because you just want to maneuver around the opposition, you are pathologically a coward, and you're sick in your head, okay? If that was the real reason, then you're pathologically a coward, because a coward should not destroy hundreds of millions of people's livelihoods simply because he's afraid of what they'll say of him in the press. And if you think that's virtue, you've abandoned Christianity. You're completely whacked out, and you've allowed groupthink to take over, and you've given up on the faith. I mean, how could you say those words in the face of Jesus Christ? Honesty is resisting evil. It's not attacking 300 million people so that the evil of the enemies who suggested it to you becomes manifested. You're the one who did it. You can't put the guilt on Fauci or Bricks or Gates. You have to put that guilt on Donald Trump. Yeah. And so if you think in the fall that you're voting for the lesser of two evils, I'd have to ask you to think, maybe, use a bit more thought there. I think both sides are evil. Both are going to do the same thing. It's the same ruling world elite. They so completely control the politics of every nation that without a Christian party that's independent of them, that comes from the masses, there is no hope. We will be herded into a new world order, a brave new world in which, if you can even have children, they'll be so genetically malformed by the vaccines that you're forced to take that you won't even want to look at them, okay? Because they will be not even human anymore. That's what they're planning to do to your children and to you. Yeah. So you got to wake up and smell the coffee. We're in the face of people who are extremely evil. This is not little evil. This is extreme evil. This is right up there on the level of satanic evil. I'd have to say it's probably been beyond what Satan wants to do. Satan only wants to damn your soul, but these people want to screw up all your bodies and damn you at the same time.
Oh, man. It's back in the media. It's back in the governor's mouthpieces. It's everywhere. What is the real reason behind, again, the push for vaccines, or we won't open? Are we going to close it?
Okay, so vaccines, you have to understand the word means to prevent you from, it's a device created in medicine to prevent you from, I should say, it's a manner of treatment in medicine that prevents you from acquiring a known disease like smallpox or polio, things like that. But what they mean by the COVID-19 vaccine is not that. They are talking about an RNA vaccine that will change your genetic code forever, okay? And it will cause the genetic code of your children to be altered, okay? So why are they insisting on vaccines? Because by means of vaccines, they will have immunity to kill you if they want to kill you, to starve you to death by preventing your work if they want to starve you from the death, and changing your species from human to something else. I mean, they could give you a vaccine that turns you into a pig, okay? That you slowly, your genes start changing so that you develop the chemical processes of a pig, though you may not look like. That's entirely possible. They don't yet have the technology, but once you allow someone to vaccinate you with an RNA vaccine, you are giving up your human existence as a human being, okay? You may no longer be human if they give you the right kind of vaccine. Now, theoretically, right now, it's not possible. They don't have that comprehension of genetics, but they're working for it. But in the meantime, you know all the problems you've had on your computer by bugs and updates and things like that, because it all malfunctions and breaks down, and they're constantly having to change it because it never works right. Mm-hmm. If you're using Microsoft, you don't have that problem if you're using Apple, but if you're using Microsoft, that's what will happen if you start accepting vaccines produced by Bill Gates corporations that are allied. They're not going to work, and when you have a problem, there'll be one to solve that problem, and they'll be constantly putting vaccines into you until they totally control you. And the way the laws are, they can patent a genetic sequence, okay? So if they come up with a genetic sequence that is not in nature, that they create, they can patent that. And if they put that in a vaccine, with your knowledge or not, and it's in your body, and it changes your genetic code, then there's part of every cell in your body that now belongs to them as property. So you have become their slave. That means when you work, they can demand some of your income, okay? If you have an idea and you patent something, they can claim that's part of their property. Man. Because you belong to them now, because your genetic code is no longer the natural human code. It is something that they have created, okay? So the level of danger that is unimaginable. You're risking your life, your liberty, your future, your children, and your very humanity, which is God's gift to you and makes you who you are. They could give you a vaccine that prevents you from rational thought, that inclines you to think one way rather than another. They could give you a vaccine that makes you into a homicidal maniac by changing the chemical balances in your mind. They can totally control and destroy you if all they have is the right to vaccinate you with immunity and you have the obligation to accept it. So why are they pushing vaccines? Because this is a class of elite that is so evil and so obsessed with power, they no longer see us as human beings. They see us as cattle, and they want to grab that power. They want that power over all of humanity because they don't want to spend all this money making robots to work in factories. They want us to be their slaves, okay? And they don't want us to vote for people they don't want to vote for. They want us to be completely controlled. And you can only psychologically control people, so many people, through groupthink. Groupthink eventually breaks down. People start talking like we are on the internet or on radio and exposing the lies, and people start freeing themselves from it. But once their genetic code is changed, there is no way to go back. You are their slave, okay? And you will suffer the consequences, whether you can no longer sleep at night or no longer digest your food, or you no longer have the proper balances of salts or minerals or hormones in your blood, you become totally their property, okay? And you cannot allow them to vaccinate you, okay? You should not, I would recommend not accepting any more vaccines from any company, because the laws are written in such a way that when they tell you they're giving you one vaccine, they can give you another, and mm-hmm. you don't know what they're giving you because it doesn't have to say on the label what's in there. So if you value your liberty, you have to assume that anyone who wants to vaccinate you is going to kill you. And you have perfect authority to use absolute full force to defend yourself, even if you have to pull out a gun and use it, because they have no right whatsoever to vaccinate you. And now we're not even to talk about absolutely fake pandemic, okay? This COVID-19 isn't even as dangerous as last winter's flu. So to claim they have to vaccinate you for something that is not even dangerous to 99.9% of the population is the fraud and lie they're using through mind control, thought control, narrative control, political control, to get you to submit, because they want this power. That's what they want. They want absolute power of humanity, because I said they're the religion of the Antichrist, and they are preparing for the advent of the Antichrist, and they need to be able to give him all that power. Okay, because they hate God and they think they can rule this world without him and control all of it. And that's the level of their sickness of mind. These people need all to be arrested, tried and shot, because they are a threat to humanity greater than even Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party.
Yeah. When you're talking about how they're trying to, now it's probably in the works, whether you want to control every part of your body, including a DNA thing, the first thing that popped in my head. Do they want, would they try to create a vaccine? But it's not only going to control your DNA and all your, everything about your body, but where it tries to take your soul.
Well, it can't take your soul, but if it can eliminate your rational abilities, then it basically can imprison you. Okay, and in that way, possess your soul. I think, AJ, I was listening to your little commentary on comments you received on Auto Militaris Radio the other day, and I think you can give eloquent testimony, because you had medical problems, and what they did to you didn't solve the problems. It made it even worse. Mm-hmm. And that was just by overdosing you on a natural hormone, testosterone. Okay. So you can imagine if they could give you a vaccine that would raise your testosterone levels to that level, what would happen to people?
Well,
it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, some nights you can sleep you can just sleep fine. You can, but other nights you can't even find a spot where it's comfy to sleep. You're constantly suffering headaches. You can be in some light, but not straight on brightness. And you can't be in a loud room, can't be in crowds, you can't. I can travel just barely to church. That is how bad all my senses and nerves and everything is. And that is just, they just pretty much shot the entire body. It is scary what they can do. And I've only heard about one other case where it sort of happened to another young man, but other than that, I'm like the rarity for some reason.
And how many years have you suffered this?
Ooh, let's see, 2007, 13 years.
13 years. So if that can happen just from external injections of a hormone, okay, and you're probably having a reaction because it wasn't identical to your natural hormone, since you have a noble bloodline, not the common one. Imagine what will happen when they start injecting people with a genetic code that they think is going to work for everyone, but it's not going to work for everyone because your code is slightly different or is incompatible. The horrible things that can happen to you, it's just unbelievable. Just go through the internet and read about genetic disorders and just all the things that can happen to you. And that's why they want absolute immunity. And that's why they want to force everyone to take the vaccine, because then they can say, oh, no, we didn't work the cause of it. And it's just mind-boggling, the level of mania. And this comes right out of the laboratories of Mengele that were funded by, before the war, by the Rockefellers. So you cannot let this stuff happen. You need to oppose Bill Gates, the entire vaccine industry, and anyone pushing it, even if it is President Trump, and even if it's the American army coming to your door to vaccinate you. You have to oppose it, because that's the end of your liberty. Yeah. And thanks God, at least in America, Americans own arms. But we'll come to a point where we're going to need a second revolution, because their decisions are getting closer and closer and more explicitly to just saying openly, we have the right to exterminate you when we want to. We have the right to open up concentration camps. We have the right to deny you all liberty, all right to work, all income, all food, and even your genetic code. In the name of our false religion that there is a pandemic or a disease, that because you are a threat to us and therefore we're going to exterminate you. That's basically the mentality. Yeah. But why are the masses a threat to these people? Because they are want total control.
The Jews are Alan Dershowitz. What was it? A few months ago. He was on some show, and Tucker Carlson got wind of his comments, saying, "We have the right, and there is covered in the U.S. Constitution, to force vaccinations on every single person." And Tucker,
yeah, that was Dershowitz, but he was saying a big fat lie, because yes, there is a Supreme Court case, there is a federal case out of Massachusetts that went to the Supreme Court, saying the police power does give the government authority to vaccinate people in times of pandemic. But this is not a pandemic, okay? It's not even an epidemic, okay? So the situation doesn't occur. However, listen to how deceitful that Dershowitz is, because there are Supreme Court cases, you can go back into the 19th century, which make illegal sodomy. Why don't they quote those? That make illegal abortion, why don't they quote those? That make illegal the Marxist Party, why won't they quote those? No, they're going to quote the ones they can use to control you, because they are absolute lying bleeptards, okay? And but it doesn't surprise me at all, it's a Jew who's saying it, okay? Because you got to remember, in the Talmud, it says at the end of time, it will be the duty of the Jewish race to exterminate all other humans, okay? And this might be the motivation behind the world lockdown, the world shutdown, and the pandemic, because all the big actors in it, from George Soros to Rockefeller, they're all Jews. So we might be able to say without some exaggeration that without any exaggeration that this is Jewish Nazism. This is what it would be. Because remember, Hitler was a Jew, and what he did to Germany was exterminate Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. he fooled everyone by saying we're defending Germans, but what he really was doing was killing Christians, and he did it quite effectively, and manipulating everyone to his cause. So, and he was allied with Russia for a time too. So,
speak more on how all these banking families are all connected to the idea of Margaret Sanger and the Nazis, even today.
Yeah. So, when the Romans crushed the Jewish rebellions, they passed a law that entered into all legal traditions in the West that Jews could not own property. All they could do was buy and sell things. And so they became, throughout the centuries, money changers, money loaners, okay? Because the Talmud actually encouraged them to defraud non-Jews by loaning them money, whereas we Christians hold that usury is a sin. And so they became heavily entrenched in the financial industries. Actually, the modern industry of banking was invented by Catholics in Italy to prevent the Jews from financial control in Italy. But once the concept of banking was invented, Jews got involved. It wasn't until much later, like the 18th and 19th centuries. So the Rothschilds, they went from selling trinkets to selling coins at overinflated prices to ingratiating themselves with noblemen who had the powers over minting presses and banks. And once they got themselves in control of banks, it was like a free holiday to do what they always wanted to do. Because you got to remember, Christians didn't start by persecuting Jews. Jews started by persecuting Christians. And a lot of Jews want to exterminate Christians. It's just a matter of fact. They consider us heretics and blasphemers, and they want to wipe us off the face of the earth because they hate Jesus Christ. They don't accept him as the Messiah. They want a Messiah that rules this world, not the world to come. And they don't want salvation to non-Jews. They want to exterminate them. So what we see now through a networking of banks, for example, the international banking organizations all require that you follow their rules, and therefore that they have control over your money. There are national reserve banks that prevent private banks from being banks of reserve so that all your money is really in the hands of them. And they work very relentlessly to control the financial institutions of every nation, because that way they can print money and use it for their own causes. And it's not surprising that big banks own stocks in all the companies that are persecuting people, or that prominent Jews are doing the same. For example, Twitter, one of the main stockholders is a Jew, and he has five or six different companies and hedge funds and investment funds that all invest in Twitter. It hides it away so you can't see it. Only once you figure out who's controlling all these, it's the same thing. And bankers are involved in important political decisions. So when Benedict was forced out of the papacy, the main force that was applied was from the banks. SWIFT wasn't going to allow any bank transfers to the Vatican, and Deutsche Bank wasn't going to allow any ATM machines to work in the Vatican. The CEO and the chairman of the board of directors of Deutsche Bank, the year that decision was made, had all graduated from St. Gallen University, which was founded in the town of St. Gallen. And you've heard of the St. Gallen Mafia. They're the ones that come into power afterwards. So, and St. Gallen is a center of banking, okay, of a bank, of a Rural Credit Union Bank Center, and the Reifershausen, I think is how you pronounce it, probably also involves heavily in laundering Nazi money. So it all tied together. The banks are, see, if we had transparent banking and such that if I went to the local bank, they had to tell me who they loan money to and how much, then we would know what's going on. But they don't have to do that. So they're taking your money in that bank and they're using it for the most nefarious means, and you don't know where it's going to. And it's going to support the elites. So the elites get loans, like Donald Trump. He filed bankruptcy 6 times, and yet they keep loaning him tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, if you declare bankruptcy once, you would never get a loan again the rest of your life. Why does he get such license and you don't? Okay, see, it's not a fair game, because with their own, they promote their own. And that's always made me doubt who Donald Trump was, because why do Jewish bankers love him so much? Okay, and that's probably why he moved money from World Health Fund to the Gates Foundation, because he's a member of that class.
Yeah.
And he serves that class. He's not there to make America great again. He's there to complete the final step in the total takeover of America.
It It's getting crazy out there in the Catholic blogosphere, video sphere, whatever you call Catholic YouTube. Not us, but those talking heads. It was a, I didn't watch it, but I saw the picture for the show on LifeSite's YouTube channel. The prophecy about Donald Trump and saving America. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I think people, they've drunk too much Kool-Aid, okay? And even the Europeans comment about this. American politics is heavy on propaganda and slogans and little on reality. You have to, if we're Christian, then we accept Christ as our master. So we accept that the teaching of Christ are the rules we live by and think by. And if you don't accept Christ's rules on how you think, then you're not a Christian, because you have to accept all the teaching of Christ. If you accept 99.999999% of the teaching of Christ and reject the other, you're not a Christian, because you don't recognize that he's God and he has absolute and total authority. And what does Christ tell us? Judge them by their deeds, not by their words. Okay, so Trump shuts down the entire economy of America and destroys everyone's livelihood. And you say that he is a good man, an honest man, a Christian, that he's trying to make America great again? Everyone on the internet knows that Fauci and BRICS are Gates' allies, and all three of them are absolute nuts, corrupt, and out to defraud people on the question of vaccines, and aren't scientific at all. They're saying lies on a daily basis. And yet he keeps them next to himself. He doesn't dismiss them. The only sane conclusion, according to Christ's teaching, is that he is a complete ally of Bill Gates. But he is more devious than Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden as president would start a Marxist dictatorship, okay? And you would resist him because you know that Biden's evil. But Trump is doing the same thing, but in a way that you'll never resist him, okay? So when the American army comes to the door to force you to be vaccinated, if the president was Biden, you would resist probably with force of arms. But if the American army comes to your door to force you to be vaccinated and the president is Trump, you're going to say, Trump is my savior. See how devious it is? It's yeah. Extremely devious. It's extremely evil. We have to remember, and Trump is, I would not compare Trump as in his personality to Adolf Hitler. And he's certainly not as cruel as Adolf Hitler. But Adolf Hitler was loved by the German people because he was good to them. He made Germany great again. But he also did other things, and people closed their eyes to that. Even Eugenio Pacelli, even Pope Pius XII closed his eyes to that, ordering the Catholic Party to dissolve and join the Nazi Party. So a lot of clergy can fail, okay? A lot of good people can fail because they're deceived by the distorted narrative. A person has to be 100% faithful to Christ. If he's not, I don't care if he kneels at the shrine of John Paul II. If he shut down the nation, he has done evil. Even Bill Gates did not shut down the nation. Okay, Bill Gates has the sin of counseling evil, and that is a great sin. But the sin of doing evil is worse. A father who says to his son, yeah, go ahead, go to the brothel. That father has sinned mortally. But the son, in going to the brothel, commits a greater sin because he actually went and did the act. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Catholic morality. This is Christian morality. If you don't accept that, if you want to say, no, I'm not going to see it, Trump is our savior, you are a heretic and an apostate. You are not a Catholic and you're not a Christian, okay? That's quite different from saying, I would prefer to be slowly drawn into the vortex of the world elites, the Bilderbergers, and therefore I'm gonna vote for Trump. But I don't think either vote is going to avoid the same outcome. It's just gonna be opposed in a different way. What you need to do is start preparing your own defense. We need a Christian party in this country, and we need it fast, because otherwise we are all going to be enslaved and murdered and have our genetic code destroyed forever, okay? So you, because once you lose it, you can never get it back, okay? Yeah. So you have to break out of this Trump is my savior. No, Jesus Christ is your savior, okay? A man who is not Catholic cannot be in the state of grace and save you. He's not a subject of divine inspirations, okay? So if Trump hadn't shut down the nation, then before he shut down the nation, I was of the opinion that, and somehow he was God's instrument for America. But once he shut down the nation, I see he's a complete liar and a fraud and hypocrite, okay? And all his defeats of the opposition and deep state is one big theater created by the deep state to make you think that you've become free. It's like in the movie of The Matrix. They go through the whole first movie thinking that they've freed themselves from, and the second movie, thinking they freed themselves from the machine, only to find out it's only in the end of the third movie they actually become free of it, okay? Because the machine tricked them into thinking that all their fighting was the way out, okay? And it wasn't, because they were still in the narrative. The deep state is playing the same game with us, okay? And it's hard to accept the truth, but you need to be a man of faith in Jesus Christ. And just use what Christ said, judge them by their deeds, not by their words. So don't pay attention to Trump's tweets. Pay attention to what he's done to America.
Yeah. And getting to that point where we gotta, you know, either vote or not vote. And then if you don't vote, people are like, you dummy, you're helping the Democrats. Or like, what? You stuck with the horrible thing of that giant green catechism by John Paul II saying you gotta choose the lesser of two evils? Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's not Christian, okay? So yeah. John Paul's theory that you should choose the lesser of two evils is not Christian. That's actually heresy, okay? Because you can always, if there's only two choices that are evil and both of them are evil, there's still a third choice that is good, and that is not to choose, okay? And all Christian morality is taught that. What is important in the next election is to vote for a mayor or chief of police who you know opposes the globalists, the internationalists, and mass vaccination. That's what's important. Because if you vote the right guy into office in your town, you can organize a militia and defend against the U.S. Army when it comes for you.
Yeah.
Biden and Trump are both controlled by the globalists and the Bilderbergers, okay? Their actions prove it, okay? Even if the words of Biden make it more clear that he at least openly says it. But Trump is more deceptive because he serves them, okay? You can't say a man who takes $1.5 billion or $1.8 billion from World Health Organization and invests in Gavi, which is a Bill Gates pro-vaccination organization, is making America great again. No, he's just showing his absolute loyalty to the Gates agenda, to the Planned Parenthood agenda, to the Rockefeller agenda, to the Bilderberg agenda. Okay, he's just showing it. Okay, and you got to wake up and snap out of it. So if there's still time to run for office in your own town as mayor or chief of police, go ahead and do it, because your town needs someone, a Christian, who's going to defend them and organize the fight. And if you don't have that kind of a person in your town, I advise you strongly moving out and moving to a town where they do have people like that, because the revolution is coming, okay? We're not far off now. It's coming. And they are intent on it, okay? When Trump says he's going to use the military to distribute the vaccine, he's telling you what he's going to do. So Hitler said that too. Hitler said in his book, Mein Kampf, that the final solution will require dealing with the Jewish race. He said it. He said it in, 36 when he wrote that book, you know, and he did it. So Trump has said it. You have to take him at his word. He's going to do it.
Yeah. I was on Twitter praying for next week's shows and studying for today's show. And I saw, was it some 27 Zoom chat by the dictator in chief of Kansas saying we gotta do more for racial and racial equality. And I'm like, lady, you don't know nothing about Kansas. From where I am in Western Kansas, we don't care about your skin color. If you treat everybody right, work hard, do your job, are raised properly, where you say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, we have no problems. But if you come here to seek to start problems, we will take care of it. And we are backed by our local police. And the liberal, and some liberal from some part of rural, eastern, southeastern Canada is like, we got a problem, we got a problem. I'm like, not in the West, we don't. It's totally different.
That's kind of outrageous for the governor to say that, since she's not from Kansas. Who does she think she is that she knows Kansas well enough to start telling Kansans what to do? You know, yeah. That's racist.
And a nice lady from eastern Kansas who didn't vote for the dictator either, like, how the hell does she get elected? I was like, I don't know. I looked at the numbers, and there were fewer numbers than any time before ever for governor elections, and somehow she won.
Well, yeah, you know, one thing I don't like about the political system in the United States is that in every town and county where they count the votes are counted only by members of two parties, the Democrats and Republican. So if they're really one party, then they can count the vote. How do you get a candidate to win? Just get rid of votes, and then you have the lowest numbers ever, and then your candidate wins. That's the easiest thing. But if there's only a Republican and Democrat, their candidate's going to win no matter what. So maybe even the Republican would have put the lockdown, because there's a lot of Republican states where the governors came out and did the lockdown too. So that's why you need a totally Christian party that resists the internationalists, that resists the globalists, that resists the New York banking families, that resists Planned Parenthood and Microsoft, and who resists the vaccine industry. If you don't have it, you're going to lose all your liberty, because the parties are now completely taken over.
And the last thing I put on my tweet, like, why don't you go back to New York City where you come from? We don't need anybody from New York City to tell us how to live in Kansas.
Yeah, that's good. Tell him. Trump is also from New York City.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. Catholics, Protestants, people of goodwill. We have two evil candidates running. I no longer trust Trump from what he did with the shutting down America, not handling the riots in all these Democrat cities. What the Supreme Court has done. Oh, breaking news from yesterday. The Supreme Court sided with the Creek Indian Nation in Oklahoma, gave back half the state.
Yeah, so in that, just a short comment on that decision as an anthropologist who studies Indians, okay, I'm totally in favor of Indians' rights. I think they were defrauded in many cases, but the hypocrisy of the court that goes back to 1860s to find a law to rule upon, but ignores God's law about man and woman and human sexuality, and the natural law about children in the womb, is complete hypocrisy. What is the purpose of all their decisions? To break down societies and break down order. Mm-hmm. And the decision they made in this case was basically to let go all these criminals who have been tried in eastern Oklahoma, saying they were tried under state law when they should be tried under tribal law. So it's just to release a bunch of a thousand, they're not all mass murderers, but 1,000 highly dangerous criminals into the public. You know, that's crazy. But there's also, their decision also violates a principle of law in the West, and that is anyone who's owned land for 20 years or more without a counterclaim owns the land, even if there was an older claim. Mm-hmm. We can't go to the idea that where everyone lived 200 years ago, that's their land, we'd have chaos in society. So a similar court in Maine ruled that a good portion of the state belonged to an Indian tribe, but they settled out of court for a sum of money, and it went to helping that tribe, you know, get off the grounds. I think they gave them $60 million or something like that, and they started a cement factory or something like that. So, but to say that the Supreme Court has any jurisdiction over Oklahoma, which is a sovereign state, is completely ridiculous. It does not. It has no authority to judge that. It can judge that Congress was wrong to establish the state of Oklahoma, but it can't give the state of Oklahoma back to a tribe. What it can do is say the federal government needs to reimburse that tribe for the value of the land or rights or something, mm-hmm. but it can't give it back. Because once the state is established, it is a sovereign, independent unity, and the Supreme Court has no authority over the adjudication of its boundaries or anything else, okay? So hopefully Oklahomans will stand up for that, and hopefully what they'll do is unite with the Indians who feel wrong and seek some recompense from the federal government. But it should come from the politicians who defrauded them and not from the taxpayers' pocket.
I mean, that means that since yesterday afternoon, the city of Tulsa, anything east, was no longer Oklahoma.
It's a ridiculous judgment. Look, okay, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that it's true. The land now belongs to the Indians, but it only belongs to the Indians the way it was in 1860. That is, without the railways, the electric lines, the roads, the sewers, the cities, and all the facilities have been added, like agricultural production, buildings, and stuff like that. Which means now if it belongs to the Indians, they have to now pay Oklahomans for all that property, which would amount in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Do they have that money? No. So it doesn't belong to them. Okay. So what is the value of all that land in 1860? It's probably no more than like $10 million. So then that's all the Oklahoma state has to do is pay the Indians $10 million and buy the land at 1860 prices.
Yeah.
That is the actual legal argument. So that's just the Supreme Court trying to attack a state that is rather conservative and Christian and try to subvert it to the Democrats because they're trying to get Trump to lose the election. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Because they want more open rebellion that comes from Biden.
Yeah.
They don't want slow rebellion. They want fast rebellion. That's the only difference between them.
So that is why first time probably ever since before turning 18, I'm not gonna vote federally. I'm just gonna do the local and state stuff. But no more. Eyes are open to the truth. Especially since these few shows. And we can't support evil, folks.
No, we can't. We need a Christian party, and that's what we should be working on the next 4 years in America.
Yeah. Well, time for a little show and tell. That showing up, right?
Yes, it does. It looks really nice. Yeah. And what is that?
That is our Order Militaris Radio TV mug. It does not like humidity, folks. I found that out this morning. You can get it for about $14.99 off our Teespring store, which is on the top menu bar at Ordo Militaris Radio TV. That is ORDO-MILITARIS.net. And the menu thing you click is Ordo Militaris Radio Store. You can get this mug. You can get this decal back there behind me for your car, truck, boat, laptop, school books. You can get a cell phone case for your smart iPhone or Samsung, t-shirt, hoodie. Thinking if a brother sends me the decal, put up some Lepanto stuff too, if that'd be okay.
Yeah, Lepanto mug and stuff. Okay, I gotta send you the decal. That'd be great. And for every purchase at the T store, Ordo Militaris Radio TV T store, the Radio Apostle gets a percentage. So that's one way you can promote by acquiring some merch that has the logo on it and help us financially too, because this is an apostolate. It's not commercial. And all the funds raised go to the equipment and the expenses of running this apostolate. And if you like these shows, go to the show page at the bottom of it and make a one-time or recurring donation. We call it a subscription. And get this apostolate going. We thank the one individual so far who's pledged $20 a month. So you can. We have hundreds of listeners. So there's a lot of you who have not made any pledges. And I know you like these programs. So this money doesn't go to AJ. It doesn't go to me. It goes to the apostolate of informing you and keep you informed, true Catholic truth. So I encourage you to do it. And I totally endorse Ordo Militaris Radio. I think it's a wonderful apostolate you're doing, AJ. And I think it's going to have a great future.
Yeah. And do you like flags, folks? There's a giant one right behind Brother.
Yeah, so this is another way you can support Ordo Militaris Radio. You can get yourself this battle flag of Marco Antonio Colonna, which is a gonfalone. It's 1 meter by 1.5 meters. It's printed on polyester nylon. It can get wet. You can put it outside. It's light material, so it will catch even the lightest wind and fly in the air. And it is the a historic reproduction of the flag that flew at the Battle of Lepanto. It was raised to start the battle. And it shows the insignia of the Holy League of 1571, the Cross of Christ, the shields of Venice, St. Pius V, the King of Spain, and Don Juan of Austria, united with a chain showing their alliance, and the fleet surrounded by the rosary here, the whole the Christian fleet firing its cannons against the enemy. So it's a beautiful flag. Our Lady of the Victories was the feast established on after the battle on October 7, 1571. Because St. Pius V asked the whole Catholic world to pray the rosary. So if you're devoted to Our Lady of the Rosary, or you want to show that Christians, Catholics, saved Europe from the Islamic hordes, this is a wonderful flag to fly on your flagpole, your balcony, carry in procession from your boat, and show everyone that you're a true Catholic and that once upon a time, there was true Christian civilization, and remind people of the way back. So, and if you purchase one of these flags from ordo-militaris.us, that's .us, not .net, go to the shop page, go to the flag link, and then let AJ know through a message on Ordo Militaris Net Radio that you got one of these flags. Half the proceeds will go to the radio apostolate. And people love it. We've already sold copies of this flag to the United States and Mexico. So we're expecting to have individuals ordering them from all around the world. And the price includes shipping to anywhere in the world.
Oh, all you pro-maskers out there saying, offering masks and commenting on my, commenting on the radio website, don't try it, love. We don't want masks. They don't do nothing. So, save your comments.
Yeah, if you're wearing a mask, you are saying you have submitted to the globalists. Okay, and you accept their lies as truth, and you're no longer a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say all those things with a mask. Okay, so don't wear a mask ever. I never wear a mask. I will not enter any building that requires me to say a mask. So don't you do it either. Resist. And because it's the new sign of the beast.
Yeah. Tomorrow's program, the real story of the War of the Vendee.
That's going to be a great program. So yeah. We'll talk about the French Revolution, what Catholic resistance is, why what they did was great, and why how they did it was not the right way, and why they ended up being losing and being martyred by the tens of thousands.
What time you want to do that?
Same time.
Okay. All right. Tune in again to 7:40 a.m. You hear the true story of the War of the Vendee. And I hope the Catholic page I set up years ago to promote them, all of you on that Facebook page, people tune in. There's like a few thousand of you, so make our numbers grow tomorrow, please. And this is Autumn Out There Radio TV signing off. Deus Volt.
Deus Volt.